no work too hard for him. Let's reflect on that for a moment. I'm sure that we've got things in our lives at this moment which we need the Spirit's help. We need God's help. No work too hard for him. In faith, receive from him. Father, we thank you that nothing is impossible with you. And yet we confess, Lord, that we sometimes hit brick walls in our lives and we say, when is this situation going to change? Lord, tonight, Lord, we pray that you will change these situations. We pray for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done. We pray for people that perhaps need to take that step, may perhaps to open their mouths and to declare what's already going on in the inside. We pray, Father, that you would give courage, you would give words. And Lord, when words are not coming, we pray that you would just give assurance deep in the heart, peace in the heart. I pray that tonight, that as we think about how the Holy Spirit gives power for witness, we pray that you would open our mouths to declare your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, would you turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and reading from verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, and with a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and has called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And that is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard that I have entrusted to him for that day. Amen. The other reading is from Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. And then just one verse. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And the verse in 2 Timothy 1 that I want to focus in on is verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Throughout the Bible, God commands us to be courageous. He commanded Joshua, be strong and very courageous. He said it again, be strong and very courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's that combination of be courageous and I will be with you. And then Jesus, when he had risen from the dead, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, and I will be with you always. Jesus commands us to be his witnesses, but he never promises that it would be easy. In the very comforting passage in John 16, where he's speaking to the disciples, he says in that very passage, he says, in this life you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And in that very passage where he's giving them so much comforting teaching about the presence of the Holy Spirit, he's also telling them that they're going to be thrown out of the synagogue. He says, John 15:16, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, but the world cannot accept him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. We know that when Jesus rose from the dead, John in his gospel says that they were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. So when we think of witnessing for Jesus and we think of the gift of the Spirit to help us to be witnesses for Jesus, it was never meant to be easy. And if we are encountering ridicule, embarrassment, feeling out of the group, intimidation, that is what Jesus said it would be like. And that the gift of the Spirit is given for that kind of conversation. The teaching on the Holy Spirit in relation to witness is about boldness. And you might naturally be a very bold person. You might have absolutely no problem walking into a room and commanding people's attention. And for you, the command, be bold and very courageous, might not seem that much of a step forward. But for another person who perhaps has never even told anyone that they believe in Jesus, for them to be bold and courageous might be to whisper, I am a believer. So I want to you to receive this teaching tonight, wherever you are in your personality and temperament, and to take a step forward. That for some people, words just flood out of our mouths because we're quite talkative people. And for other people, we wouldn't say boo to a goose, but you know what I mean? We're not all meant to be upfront proclaimers. Some of us can proclaim in quiet ways. But the key thing is, are we ashamed of the gospel? Are we ashamed of the teaching of the Bible in 2021? Are we hoping that they'll change the subject when it comes up in conversation? think Timothy was naturally prone to fear. In Corinthians, that seems to be suggested about him, that it says, the end of I think it's Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16, it says, you know, just tell Timothy not to be afraid. And he had these big responsibilities, but he was often afraid. But I think Joshua was afraid. I think the disciples were all afraid. And I think this idea that none of us are afraid is probably not being honest, is it? I think we all get afraid. And Peter, "I will never let you down, Jesus," he got so scared. And he denied Jesus 3 times. And yet he was totally transformed when he received the Holy Spirit. I was reading this week in a magazine which does not like the SNP. There are always lots of articles about how the SNP are getting it wrong all the time. But this week, there was an article saying, entitled, "In Praise of Kate Forbes." And that was interesting. And it finished with a Bible verse. And that was even more interesting. A secular magazine that often is promoting lots of non-Christian values, this week had an article in praise of Kate Forbes, one of our local MSPs. And this is what it said. It says, "Few politicians say much today that is courageous. When every dissenting view, colorful remark, or provocative thought brings with it the threat of cancellation, you have to console yourself with the fiction that saying the same thing as everyone around you is a courageous feat. But when I say that Kate Forbes has done something courageous, I say it because she has done something that no one around her is doing. This SNP politician serves as finance minister in the Scottish government, but she is out of step with many people in her party and most people in other parties because she is a Christian. She's not just a churchgoer, she really believes this stuff." In an interview with BBC's Nick Robinson, she said, and let's listen to the words carefully, what Kate said, "To be straight, I believe in the person of Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for me, he saved me, and that my calling is to serve and to love him and to serve and love my neighbors with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. So that for me is essential to my being. Politics will pass. I am a person. I was a person before I was a politician. And I will be a person after I am a politician. And I will continue to believe that I am made in the image of God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for me. I believe that he saved me and that he influences everything I do." In a BBC political interview, slightly different from Alistair Campbell, who said, "We don't do God around here." And then she took part in the prayer breakfast in June 2018, and this is what she prayed, because the journalists wrote it down. "May our politicians recognize that the way we treat the most vulnerable, whether the unborn or the terminally ill, is a measure of true progress." And in the way that she prayed, and in the way that she spoke, she probably created many enemies. But they also said in that article, there's not a single person in the Scottish Parliament that doesn't respect her. And I think that is wonderful. When you get the words of witness right, but you also get respect. And that must be something about the way she treats people. And I think that's a very good example of courage, of speaking out, of being true to your beliefs, even if it could cost you your job, your career. And what makes us not want to do that? What holds us back? And it's fear. Timothy was obviously struggling, perhaps tempted to hold back the apostles on the day of Pentecost when they were filled with the Spirit, were to proclaim the good deposit that was entrusted to them by Jesus. They were not to hold back. They were not to water down the message. But fear makes us do that. Timothy, his context was false teaching. There were people defriending him because he held to the apostolic teaching. Are we able to hold to the teaching that was given to us by the apostles in a culture which has rejected and has abandoned these teachings? Now, when I speak about fear, I've got to be really careful here. One of the most common things in our society and in the Christian church is that many people are struggling with anxiety and depression. And when you hear a sermon like this, it's not intended to be a simplistic sort of just have faith and don't be anxious. If you're really spiritual, you'll never be anxious. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not even addressing the whole host of anxieties that we might have to deal with on a daily or a weekly basis, where we need pastoral support, we need counseling, we maybe need to go and see a GP. I'm talking about fear of standing up and publicly holding true to what you believe. The fear that makes you not want to do that. I was listening to a doctor, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who became a preacher. And he was speaking about fear as the very biggest problem that affects so much of the human condition. And he helpfully pointed me back to Genesis chapter 3. And he talks about, let's just turn to that for a moment. If you turn to Genesis chapter 3, I thought this was an amazing insight. The passage about the rebellion of Adam and Eve. And so God goes looking for Adam and Eve. And cannot, they're hiding from God. They're hiding from God. And God calls out to them, says, "Where are you?" And it says that they hid because they didn't want God to see them naked. Verse 10, Adam says, "I heard You were in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. I was afraid, and so I hid. And what this passage tells us in Genesis 3, that was the moment when humanity stopped depending on God and decided they could go it alone. Instead of worshiping God as king, they wanted to be king. They wanted to be in control. And that is the cause of fear. Wanting to be in control. Trying to handle things which are much bigger than we can handle. Do you ever struggle with fear of failure? Do you ever struggle with fear of the future? Do you ever struggle with fear for your family? Do you struggle with fear for things that you're not able to control? Do you struggle with fear about people coming to faith or not coming to faith? See, I think this speaks to me at a deep level that imagine if we were to wake up tomorrow morning and say, I'm released from the burden of having to be in control. All I am commanded to do is to faithfully stay close to the one who is in control of all things. And that if I stay close to him, then he will help me throughout the day. If the day is a day of success, then the glory goes to him. If the day is a day of frustration, then he will give me the grace to get through that day. Because I committed the day to him, and when we are doing mission, how much more is it? It's God's mission. It's his. He's the one that sends us. He's the one that sends the Son, Jesus, and he's the one that sends us out in mission, and he's the one who gives us his Holy Spirit to witness. In that difficult conversation, he's right there with us. We are not in control of that moment. We are made in the image of God. We are meant to live in fellowship and in dependence upon him. And that is why he gave us the Holy Spirit. It's very relational. I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you abandoned. I will not leave you deserted. I will not give you this impossible task and say, get on with it. I will be with you in that. And the theological word in the Bible for God is in control is the sovereignty of God. Or another way of putting it is Jesus is Lord. That is the gospel in three words. Jesus is Lord. Or the kingdom of God. God's kingdom, not Alistair's kingdom, not your kingdom, but God's kingdom. And we are servants in his kingdom. And the greatest passage on worry in the New Testament says that we should not worry about tomorrow, for today has enough trouble of its own. And what are we asked to do? Do you know? What did Jesus say? Seek first my kingdom And all these things will be added unto you. And that's like saying, prioritize on what's important to me, and I'll take care of the rest. Trust me. Commit your way. Delight in what I delight in, and you'll be set free from that anguish and that pressure. He gives us promises. Promises about the future. Secure promises. He's faithful. He'll never let us down. And he also gives us what he promised, his Holy Spirit. When we don't depend on him, we hide our light. When we don't depend on him, we please people rather than God, and we make the wrong judgments. When we don't depend on him, we get caught in a cycle of doubt and double-mindedness. When we don't depend on him, we are preoccupied with self and with our provision, and we find it difficult to take risks to sell things in order that we may buy the pearl of great price, because we worry that we won't be able to cope. And we lack joy. The kingdom is not about eating and drinking. The kingdom is about peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. But that joy comes when we receive his grace and we release control to God. And that's what Timothy is being encouraged to do. He says, do not be ashamed, Timothy, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. Not in your own strength, but by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus suffered, and we will suffer. But will a suffering Savior find those who are willing to step out and suffer for him? So Timothy is reminded that he is not given a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. This power is, it's like the most obvious description of the Holy Spirit. It's all over the Bible that Jesus was a man anointed with power and was able to do amazing things. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news, to release the captives. That power, that same power is in us. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit every day for his ministry. We need his power. But I mentioned earlier that some of us find it easy to talk. Some of us find it easy to be bold. And some of us find it really difficult. Well, the person that finds it really easy to be bold perhaps would take encouragement that it's not only a spirit of power, but it's a spirit of love. That it's faith expressing itself through love. And it's also about a sound mind. That wisdom, which is the opposite of when we're caught in a panic, like the waves tossed back and forth, not knowing how to respond. But he says that we need to fan into flame this gift of God, that's in us, which means that it's not simply about the God fills us with His Holy Spirit. Like on the day of Pentecost, they were in the room and the Spirit came in power. And it was a momentous day, in many ways a unique day in salvation history. But we know that in Acts 4, that it was when Peter was filled with the Spirit that he was able to speak. So he needed to be filled again. He was filled on the day of Pentecost, and then a few days later, he was filled again. And 2,000 years later, we need to be filled. We were filled the day we trusted in Jesus. When we trust in Jesus, we receive the Spirit. But I needed to be filled before I spoke to you tonight. I needed to be filled. I stop and I ask God to fill me with His Spirit. And I can feel Him entering me. I can't explain it. I know He's there already, but I can feel Him coming again. And I think that's just an outward manifestation of His reassurance that He's with me in that moment. It's not that He wasn't there before, but I'm expressing my dependence. He's coming and giving me what I need. And He'll give you what you need. But it says that we are to fan into flame. And that's something about our prayer life. As we ask the Spirit to work in our friends' lives, let us not be surprised if we find ourselves in conversation which is more open than it was before we prayed. That was my experience this week. I found myself several times in the week just sensing that God had answered prayers. The more we pray, the more we wait, the more we will recognize what God is doing in people's lives. And so we fan the flame. We are to work out our salvation because God is at work in us. We cooperate with the Spirit. And for all the really hard stuff, let us remember that we are His children. We are His sons and daughters. In Romans 8, it says, "You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship." And that a marvelous chapter goes on to tell us in so many different ways that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing at all. It's the most beautiful passage in the whole Bible, I think. Read it tonight and be very encouraged. And the way that this love, this fellowship is brought home to our hearts is when we are reassured that we are part of His family, that we are His children, that the future is secure. And He, in the most difficult times, He is able to pour His love into our hearts. He may not solve the problem. He may not bring the healing. He may not resolve the situation, but He will give us His presence in that moment in a way that casts out the fear and gives us a deep peace. Are there situations tonight where we need to ask God to fill us with His Spirit, that we would have the courage to walk this week in all the challenges, knowing that His love is with us, His peace is with us. He is with you. He is with you. He is with you. Amen.